chapter 31, Proverbs, chapter 31 in your Bible. Proverbs chapter 31. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad every mother is here. This is a very special church service, and it's an opportunity not just to honor moms, but to honor the gift that they are. Proverbs chapter 31, in verse 28. Proverbs 31, verse 28. Her children arise up. When was the last time you stood for your mom when she entered a room? I bet that we don't do that very often, if at all. But her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously. But thou, this mom, excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty vain. The woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, how many of you have or have had a mom? You think about it for a minute. We all have. You wouldn't be here if you didn't have a mother. Thank God a mother didn't abort you. I'm sure she thought about it afterwards. Thank God for a mother who kept you around, a mother who raised you. Now, I'm sure she will admit, be the first to admit, she was imperfect, she was unqualified, she was unable, but she raised you, kicking and screaming. And we are the product of the influences of our mother first. I really believe that. So let me ask you something. What do you think of motherhood? Is it a ho-hum, old-fashioned? Oh, here we go. A bother. A burden. Here's somebody. Torture. A curse. Well, you know, that's how it's portrayed and looked at by most people today. Ah, but a single woman. A powerful woman. Free women. They're praised. They're honored. And they're worshipped today. I'd like to change your mind this morning about motherhood. See, today's Mother's Day. I'm not going to be your friend today, gentlemen. I wish more men were here today. And I may be not much of what you want either, Mom. But I'm going to tell you the truth, and I hope to make a difference in every home and every life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We need God's help. Father, I ask you to help me do what you called me to do, and that is to be an encouragement, but also to be an exhorter. Got to give some direction. Got to pull some people back from the brink. Got to try to change the direction of many futures and many, many homes. And I can't do it. But your Holy Spirit can. Would you let the words of this book sink down deep into the hearts and the lives of the people in this room? Help somebody, many somebody, especially mothers, take encouragement from this book. May the rest of us take the challenge that we're not doing our job in honoring our mom, honoring the mother of our children. We've got a big task. We've got a big, big responsibility. Lord, I pray that you change our minds and our lives about motherhood this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start right off the bat. You're not going to like me, but just buckle up. See, I'm going to start off with what feminists think of motherhood. I'm not a mother, so I have to read about things. I read about it in 1970, there's a woman named Shulamith Firestone. She wrote a very explosive book. I'm not going to use the name of the book. It's not a proper name. But she said, the heart of a woman's oppression is her childbearing and her child-rearing role. She said the traditional family structure is at the core of a woman's oppression. And unless revolution uproots the basic social organization of the biological family, the tapeworm of exploitation of women will never be annihilated. She went on bluntly. She said, pregnancy is barbaric. Childbirth is like passing a pumpkin. And childhood is a supervised nightmare. She said this, all men are selfish, brutal, and inconsiderate. Well, at least she was right about that. Her views were not alone. Other writers like Simone de Beauvoir, Betty Friedman, Virginia Woolf, Marilyn Fry, I have no idea who these people were until I began to research. And I found many other people sparked a revolution back in the 60s and 70s, pointing out the inequalities between men and women and blaming, what is amazing is they blamed everything not on just men. Men are a big problem, that's okay, but they blamed it on motherhood. That surprised me. To feminists, motherhood is all wrong. Motherhood had always symbolized the subjugation, I'm quoting, of the self to the needs of others. The slavery of a person to the needs of others, and therefore is the opposite of liberation. Throughout the last 50 years, the role of mother, the word mother has enslaved women with their children and has hindered their participation in the world of work and politics. To them, a mother's life is powerless as long as she is dependent upon men. Motherhood is often referred to simply as slavery. And the modern feminist believes with all their heart that women only bind themselves to their motherly position because of guilt and not for any other reason. Feminists in the past have pushed that a woman should have it all. Not just the kids, not just the husband, but also the job, the hobbies, the close girlfriends, the personal holidays by herself. And so today our modern world is filled with lower and lower birth rates, dependence on processed foods instead of home-cooked foods, intense competition between mothers about their careers and all their children's achievements if they have children. Our modern world is filled with the overwhelming feelings of guilt when things don't go well, the lack of support by men in general, spoiled brats for children, and a complete and total disregard for the title mother. All thanks to feminists. Folks, let me tell you this. You can't have it all. It rarely works to have a demanding full-time job and being a full-time mother. It does work, but rarely. If you don't believe me, look around you. How many moms do you see completely burned out? Tell me if I'm wrong. Aren't most women still doing most of the laundry? Come on, ladies. Aren't most of the women still doing the cooking, the cleaning, and now trying to work at least part-time, if not also full-time? But remember, feminism is supposed to be about equal rights to work, equal wages, equal opportunities, equal education, personal medical empowerment, independence, and sexual freedom. It didn't work. Nearly 50 years of this experiment. The truth is, feminism and motherhood just don't coexist. They can't. Feminists had to break free of the constraints of motherhood and wifehood. To many modern women, children ruin everything. Marriage ruins everything. Men ruin everything. Come on, ladies, you know I'm singing your song. So what we have today, if you look at the results, you look at fewer and fewer marriages, people are just living together. No more large families. Oh, now we have perfectly planned pregnancies of just one or two children, if children are wanted at all. No more modesty in dress. No more differences between men and women are allowed. And no more home. Just a place. Really, motherhood is almost dead today. Motherhood was called a gilded cage, a golden cage for women. At least that's what they were taught to believe since the 60s. And the worst enemy of motherhood, as I read and studied, was women. They no longer showed any respect or appreciation for women who stayed at home and raised their children, no longer honored those who kept house and provided meals and loved their husbands. To the feminist movement, you were either with them or against them. Stay-at-home mothers were the very reason for the inequality of women. Motherhood, at best, could only be second to a career. But it's best to avoid it altogether. Motherhood was no longer good enough for women. Motherhood was not a respectable option for the smart, intelligent, and empowered woman. I know there are exceptions to this. I know there are exceptions. You see, I know that some women can do 300 times more than a man. Most women can. I know some dads and husbands who are helping way more than ever imagined in the past. There are those who truly do bow and honor stay-at-home moms and treat them with the greatest of respect that they deserve. But ladies and gentlemen, mothers have to exist for our species to exist. Does that make sense? We got to have moms. Amen? Stay-at-home moms may be looked down as ignorant, stupid, low-achieving, lazy, brainwashed, and much the more, but they are so needed. Let me talk to you about what men think of motherhood. Most men think it's great. We need more women. We need more mothers. And they have no idea what it means to be a wife or a mother. Mom and Dad were watching TV when Mom said, "I'm tired. It's getting late. I think I'll go to bed." So she went to the kitchen to make sandwiches for the next day lunch, next day's lunches. She rinsed out the popcorn bowls, took meat out of the freezer for supper the next evening, checked the cereal box levels, filled the sugar container, put spoons and bowls on the table, and started the coffee pot for brewing the next morning. She then put some wet clothes in the dryer, put a load of clothes into the washer, ironed a shirt, and secured a loose button. She picked up all the game pieces left on the table and watered the plants, emptied her wastebasket, hung up a towel to dry. She yawned, stretched, and headed for the bedroom, and then she stopped by the desk and wrote a note to the teacher, counted out some cash for her son's field trip, and pulled a textbook out from hiding behind a chair. She signed a birthday card for a friend, addressed and stamped the envelope, and wrote a quick note for the grocery store. She put both into her purse. Mom then washed her face with 3-in-1 cleanser, put on her night solution and age-fighting moisturizer, brushed and flossed her teeth, and fitted and styled her nails. Fitted her nails. Dad called out, "I thought you were going to bed." "I'm on my way," she said, and she put some water in the dog's dish and put the cat outside. They made sure the doors were locked. She looked in on each of the kids and turned out the bedside lamps, hung up a shirt, threw some dirty socks into the hamper, and had a brief conversation with one that was still up doing homework. In the bedroom, she set the alarm, laid out the clothing for the next day, straightened up the shoe rack. She added 3 things to her 6 most important things to do list. She bowed at the side of her bed and said her prayers and thanked God for the accomplishments that were able to be done that day. And about that time, Dad turns off the TV, announces to no one in particular, "I'm going to bed." And he did. Men have no idea about motherhood. Yes, sir? I'm talking about a lot of women. Folks, the truth is, they have no idea, and really, men really don't care what happens to motherhood. They don't care whether a marriage definition gets redefined today. They don't care whether men and women stay married for life. They don't care whether there's divorce over and over and over. They just don't care. As long as children are tended to, as long as women submit to a man's authority and desires, and as long as having children doesn't get in the way of a man's life and hobbies and careers. Doesn't matter what happens to motherhood, to men. Folks, we are in a bad way because men haven't changed much in 6,000 years. Now, what children think of motherhood. In school, a teacher gave her class a second class, a lesson on the magnet and what it does. And then she had a test the next day, and she included this question. "My full name has 6 letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. Who am I?" When she gathered all of the 25 students back, half of them said, "Mother." Instead of magnet. "I pick up things. Mother." Okay. That was a good... According to a recent report from a website called Salary.com, It's a website dedicated to researching average salaries for various jobs and industries. And it has defined that stay-at-home moms should earn an average, are you listening, ladies? Write this down. Should earn an average of about 110,000 euros annually, including overtime. If only they received a pay packet. Among all the jobs that a stay-at-home mom does includes daycare center worker, teacher, taxi driver, housekeeper, cook, chief executive officer, computer operator, budget manager, nurse, general maintenance worker, psychologist, janitor, dog walker, activity organizer, and so on. Do you know a mom is on guard constantly for more than 80 hours a week, cleaning, feeding, protecting, negotiating, teaching, dressing, driving, bathing, and always staying one step ahead of the children, lest they get too hungry, tired, or bored. Those are all jobs that you can quantify and put a value on, but you can't put a value on a mom's hug. You can't put the value on a mom's praise when she says, you can do anything. What kind of value can you put on a mom's encouragement? What can you say that is better than coming home to a mom who's got lunch ready for the children and just there and just see somebody who had a bad day and mom just makes it all better? How do you value that? Folks, moms do as much as gifts, do so much as gifts for their family. They are a gift, and I want to honor you as a gift this morning. How a family can survive without a mom, I don't know. Some men do it. Sometimes God gives grace on both sides. Mom raising kids without a dad, and dad raising kids without... Those are the exceptions to the rule, and thank God for the grace of God. But you know, children naturally love their mothers. Now, I'm going to try to do something, and they took the thing. I won't do it. I wish I could. There was a video where moms were invited to talk about how they see themselves as moms. Then they brought the kids in and had those children say what they thought of their mom. And it would bring you to tears, just how those kids love their mom. Now, I was going to show you some, but I don't have the speakers. I apologize. Somebody took them. Now, what God thinks of motherhood. Let's take our Bible. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. What does God think of motherhood? Well, the first thing I want you to understand, He created it. You know, usually when you make something, you think it's pretty good. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. God blessed them. God said unto them, He's talking to Adam and Eve, a mom and a dad, and He said unto them, be fruitful, be a mom and dad, and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Don't let the world dominate you. You be in charge of it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Folks, God created and He blessed motherhood. Psalm 127. Go to the middle of your Bible. Psalm 127. What does God think of motherhood? It is His reward. Psalm 127 and verse 3. Lo, children are a heritage passed on from who? From the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is not His curse, it is His reward. Titus, now to the right, way to the right, almost to Hebrews. Titus chapter 2. God thinks motherhood is vital for society and the home. Titus chapter 2 verse 3. Titus 2 and verse 3, the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. What should older women teach? Verse 4, that they teach the younger woman to be sober, to be level-headed, Not going with the fashion, not going with the culture, but to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. God says, listen, if you want to have a society, if you want to have homes, we need mothers. We need a special kind of mother. God honors motherhood. Exodus chapter 20, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says it is His commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. As a matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 1 says this, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. My mom had lots of rules. Just one of those things. And, you know, we respected our dad because he was bigger than us. Now, my mom was a little bitty. But you know what she demanded? Respect. And when she gave us something to do, she expected us to do it. As a matter of fact, we never heard our names twice. I mean, the only way I knew I was in trouble is when she used my middle name. Craig Allen? That was it. God says, you better forsake not the law of thy mother. For they, if you do honor your father and mother, it's like an ornament of grace, a crown unto thy head and chains about thy neck. God warns of not honoring our mom. He says in Proverbs chapter 30, there's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. We're in that generation. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. God's trying to warn us that we're supposed to honor mom. Now, is it possible that motherhood needs revisiting this morning? If you'll take your Bible and go to Genesis chapter 2, we'll look at a few things about God's design of motherhood. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Let me tell you what a mom is. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Now God has already made Adam. He's already made everything. But there's one last thing to make. Verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, well, that was the name thereof. So it must have been very interesting to watch as an elephant would come up and go, you look like an elephant. And a giraffe, you look like a long-necked creature. I'm going to call you a giraffe. An aardvark, a beaver. Every animal comes up and he looks at it, but watch what it says. Verse 20, and Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, it was not found in help meet for him. So as he looks, he sort of says, could I get along with this one? No. 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 And so all throughout that, verse 21, now watch what happens. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. And he brought her unto the man. See, Adam, as we know, was marvelously designed by God. Go back to chapter 2 and verse 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. That's why we get dirty so much. Walk. And that's why little kids, we were watching yesterday, Youngin and I were out somewhere, and we were watching out in the middle of this field, you know, where everybody was normally playing soccer. There was no way to play soccer because we tried to walk through the field. It was like a bog. It was just drenched. But there was a small lake in the middle of the field. Guess who was in the middle of that lake? Just a little boy, no older than, how old was he? Like 4 years old, man. Made from the dust of the earth. Breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and that man became a living soul. Don't try and fool me that people are just walking blobs of protoplasm. full of simple chemical reactions, folks. The end result of billions of years of accidents and trials and errors? I think not. Men may not look like much, ladies, but every square millimeter of a human body is bristling with marvelous activity and miraculous life. Every cell, every neuron, every fiber of your body is perfectly designed for life. But Adam was not complete. No. God created man lacking something. Women? Brains. Okay, yeah. There were things that Adam couldn't do well. And all the women say amen. And he was alone. No amount of work, no hobby that Adam had, no pet animal, no mountain to climb could make up for his aloneness. So God put him to sleep. In the first surgery operation ever that was ever conducted, God cut open Adam's chest. I mean, what an incredible open heart surgery. Any kind, when you open up the chest of somebody, it is a major deal. He broke off a rib next to his heart and then sewed back that cut closed, leaving a scar. Remember, every time he would stand in the mirror going, awesome, he'd see a scar there, reminding him. What God had done. From that curved rib bone, God fashioned another living being. God made a woman. Not another man, thankfully. But someone different. Different than Adam. In many ways, the opposite of Adam. Why are you so emotional? And she says, because you're not. But in all ways, she was for Adam. God had made Eve. Ladies, I thank God that you're different. But that's not all that Eve was. She was specially designed by God, but... Oh, I didn't know I had all this. But she was given as a gift to Adam. Look at verse 22, chapter 2, verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now, if I had been God, I would have made Eve and I would have hit her and said, now go find her. Just for fun. He doesn't even know what to look for. He doesn't know what God can do. You ever been in the place where you say, God, I don't know what I need. I don't know what's lacking in my life. I don't know where to look. You ever been there? A lot of people end up down at a disco. A lot of people end up taking 10 E's a night. Some people spend their lives burying their hurts in bottles of sorrow and drink. Let me tell you, only God can bring what you need. Here's this woman that God gives her. Adam, he didn't discover her. He could have said, God, look what I discovered. He didn't discover her. He didn't earn her. He would never be worthy of her. She was a gift. This was not a pet or an object for Adam to own and control either. Someone that was to be his equal. Someone who would complete him. Ladies, not compete, but complete. Here was somebody who would be his wife, his friend, his helper, his lover, his encourager for life. And you know, with all of that truth, husbands don't get it. Gentlemen, if you're married this morning, God gave your wife to you, and none of us deserved our wife, ever.
You don't know who I'm married to.
All I know is every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of light, whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. It doesn't say he who findeth a good wife. Now, not all wives are good. But it says if you find a wife, you found something good. Amen? You're going to have to take it as a gift. The moment you quit treating her like a pet, the moment you quit treating her like an object, the moment you quit treating her like a child, the moment you quit treating her like your mother, the more like your wife, the more she might actually blossom and be a blessing back to you. Amen? She's a gift. How much, gentlemen, does your wife feel treasured like a gift would be in your home? I bet you honored her as your wife. I bet you opened the door for her when you first were courting her. Oh, let me get that door. Oh, that ring. Oh, it looks so good. Oh, it's not enough. Let me pay more for that ring. Yeah, here, TV dinner. You know, gentlemen, you can honor your children's mother again. At least you should. What a mother is, she is of greater value even than Adam. Look back in chapter 1 in verse 27. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. See, to God, the man is not important, more important than the woman. They both needed each other. Both were designed with the other person in mind. As a matter of fact, God says for men to treat women even of greater value than themselves. Listen to this. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. I am not there yet. Good night. That's just, me is not here. The longer I'm saved, the longer I'm married, the more I realize how little I've done in sacrifice for my wife. How little I've done, and yet how much she's done in sacrifice for me. And how much my wife has done as a mom in sacrifice for our children. And I'm just very slow to love her as Christ loves me. I think Jesus loved me as a sinner, amen? As a failure, someone who ignored Him, shook his fist at Him, mocked Him, judged Him, pushed Him out of the way. He loved me, never stopped loving me, went after me. What am I like when she pushes my buttons? See, I haven't gotten to the place where I love her as Christ loved stinking rebel like me. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Ephesians 5:28 says, men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against him. Why would a man get bitter at a woman? Because she gets better off than you do. Because she gets to sleep and you have to go take care of the baby. Amen. Sometimes. Don't get bitter at your wife because things aren't working out right. God says, love your wife. Likewise, husbands, ye husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. I know many women are stronger than their husbands. But you're to honor your wife as a weaker vessel. Being heirs together is the grace of life. It's sad today, folks. It's very sad that being a woman was an advantage only on two ships in history. I was shocked. You ready? Listen to this. There was a study where 15,000 people have died since 1850. In maritime disasters. And throughout all of that time, have you ever heard the term women and children first? You ever heard that? That has only been enacted twice in history. One ship in 1852 in the Birkenhead ship, and the second was 1912 in the Titanic. This research looked at the fate of over 15,000 people of more than 30 nationalities, and researchers found that more women and children die than men in maritime disasters, while the captains and the crews usually have a greater chance of survival than all other passengers. I thought it was normal that women and children were protected, but only on two ships in history have women and children in history been saved at the expense of men. God didn't intend for that. Now, not only are they specially designed by God, gift to the world, greater value than Adam, but they were designed to be more. Look at verse 28, Genesis 1 and verse 28. And God, let's look at it again. God blessed them and God said unto them, have fun. Play. Run around. Build houses. No, He didn't say that. I mean, listen, when you get married, look what He says. Be fruitful. You were designed for more than just being husband and wife. Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, fill it up, subdue it, and have dominion over it, over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Folks, Eve was designed to be a wife, but she was designed to be much more. Look in chapter 3 and verse 20. What does Adam, now again, when Adam saw a cow, what did he call it? A cow. When he saw a bull, he called it a bull. When he saw a porcupine, he said, prickly thing, porcupine. When he saw a squirrel, squirrel. He called it a squirrel, everything. But when he saw this woman there, look what it says. Chapter 3 and verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Eve was designed to be a wife, but she was designed to be much more. Now listen to me, whether you agree with me or not, the truth is motherhood is the highest calling of a woman. The highest calling is not your career, even though it's not wrong to have a career. Your calling is not your freedom to live as you please. Ladies, your highest calling is not to fulfill your talents and your abilities. Everything about you, ladies. I'm a guy, I'm talking to you, don't take offense. I have to say what's in this book, and I have to find out what is right, both for me and you. But everything about you, ladies, points to being a mom. No man is equipped to be a mother. Yet the body of a woman has everything built in for them not to just be a woman, but to be a mom. Now, not every woman can be a mom. Not every woman wants to be a mom. But that doesn't change the fact that Eve was designed to be a mom. A woman, no wonder women have the lowest view of themselves. They've been pressured into thinking they're only for sex. They've been pressured into thinking they're no different than men. They've been pressured that they're not supposed to be mom. They've been taught that science one day will do away with the womb and the need for mothers and pregnancies and cycles and oestrogen. They've been pressured into thinking they should be anything except a mom. And if you did become a mom, bad girl. I went to work one day. We had had Sharon and Joel. And Nita was pregnant with our third baby, which was Ruth. We hadn't decided on a name, but I went there and I announced to everybody, my wife's going to have a baby. And I must have had three women say, you know there are ways to control that. Wow. Just out of nowhere, man. Anything but a mom. Did you know evolution could not have designed a mother? If evolution had created a mother, women would have six arms. And they all would be longer than a hallway. Come here, you kid. If evolution had created a mother, she would have eyes on the back of their head. I'm sure my mom did. There'd be no pain in childbirth. Certainly after 2 billion years, evolution would have taken away the pain in childbirth. Certainly it would have. There'd be no pain if evolution were true. She would be stronger than her husband, because look at all she does. What a guy does. She'd be able to switch on and switch off her fertility at will if evolution had made mothers. But a mother is not an accident. She is specially designed and equipped by God as she is. Next time the world shows you, and believe me, these magazines are a curse, the way they show a woman's body, the way they show men's body, the way they show what it means to be a woman, what they honor in the outside and never on the inside. Next time you look at that, remind yourself that God made you as you are. You ought to be very, very proud that God thought you were fearfully and wonderfully made. So I stand here and I say, thank you, Mom. I'm glad that you don't really believe that the heart of a woman's oppression is her child-bearing and child-rearing role. I'm glad that you don't believe that the family structure is the core of a woman's oppression. I'm glad, Mom, that you don't believe pregnancy is barbaric. And I'm glad that most of the time you don't let yourself believe that all men are selfish, brutal, and inconsiderate. Thank you that you made a choice for life and for family. Maybe you are worn out, burned out, tired out. Thank you, you make the sacrifices. Thank you that you decided that being a mom was worth more than anything else. And thank you that you agree with God that being a mom is blessed of God. You know, I like the verse in Genesis chapter 1. It says, and God blessed them, mom and the dad. Thank you that you agree that it is a reward from God to have children, not a curse. And that being like the world is not fine with you. You truly are specially designed by God. Moms, you are a gift to so many people that probably never say thank you. You probably are constantly giving, people coming and never being thanked. Think of how many times somebody comes to your house and sits down at your table and you fix a meal and you prepared it and that visitor says, thank you, that was wonderful. And your husband hasn't thanked you in 10 years. And your kids certainly wouldn't dare think of thanking you. Thank you that you are a gift still to so many people. Thank you because you truly are of equal and even greater value than any man in this room. You truly are designed to be more than just a female. You have been designed to be a mom. And what men need to take away from this? You ready, guy? What do you need to do with the mother of your children and even to your own mom? All right, gentlemen, you're not going to like this. But it needs to be done. You need to stand up. You need to rise up and call her blessed. If your wife gets to stand up here in a few minutes, you need to stand up first off and say, I'm blessed with that woman. You need to rise up and call her blessed. Quit seeking all the praise, gentlemen. You're dirt. Honor your wife for being willing to be your wife and not just a woman. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Gentlemen, you praise the stupid team, the rugby team in Ireland lost yesterday. Is that what I saw? Good night, Facebook was going, oh, Ireland, oh. Folks, listen to me. Do you ever praise your wife? Do you ever go to somebody and say, I'm married to somebody better than I deserve? You know what? There's an almost endless list of things that we men ought to do for the mother of our children. Yeah. Rise up and call her blessed. Be with her. I think we're too busy. I'm too busy. You know what my wife likes? She likes me to just hang. I mean, I want to go and I got something to do. I'm running around. I got projects. I got people to call. And she'll text me and says, are you busy? What do you want? Never mind. Boy, I better run. Never mind has a lot of meaning. Gentlemen, listen to your wife. Listen to the mother of your children. Somebody said it this way. Men, during the day, speak about 25,000 words across 8 hours. You know what's funny? Women speak about 25,000 words a day, too, but she starts when he gets home. You know what that woman needs? Somebody to talk to. Somebody to listen to her. Somebody who will be honest with her. Somebody who will talk about her instead of about himself. Somebody wants to help her. You know, she has done nothing as a mom. She has done nothing but help you. And you take him and take him and take him like a child. Gentlemen, I know there are dads and husbands who help out more than ever than before. I mean, 25 years ago, a man would never be caught dead changing a nappy. Fixing their own dinner? Oh, it's time for divorce. I'm glad that dads and husbands are helping out, but it's not enough. Be with her, man. Check in with her. Check on her. You know, you're going to make a decision? Ask your partner. If you had an equal partner in a business, and that partner had 50% investment, you have 50% investment in a business, you can't make a decision until you've checked with your partner. Amen? And yet you're married and you think she's not your partner? You think you can just go, well, you know, I'm going away for the weekend. Get over it. Check with her. You know, usually I found my wife is 100 times more spiritual than I am. Amen. And I need to listen to her. She'll say, don't do that. I go, oh, I'm the man of God. I have a vision. Don't do that. You're just a little old lady. You don't know what I see. She says, I see something. You're going for ruin. I need to listen to her. Amen. She doesn't rarely ever tell me don't. But when she does, I need to listen. Amen. Let her override you. Let her say, no, We're not going to do that. Amen. Thank God for women who look up to the husband, but then also look him straight in the eyes and say, no, that's wrong. We're not going to do that. We're not going to miss church. We're not going to spend money and put it on the credit card. We're not going to do all these things. And you ought to go, okay, you're right. She might have a heart attack. You said those two words. You're right. Protect her. What do you do with the mother of your children? You need to protect her first from you. You don't realize it, but you're the most selfish creature in that home, Leo. Amen. You need to have rules about what's expected of you to protect her. Not a lot of guys have this today, but 30 years ago, 40 years ago, guys didn't care. You need to protect your wife from the expectations of the world against her. You need to watch your wife and wonder what kind of pressure she's under. I mean, mom picking up their kids from the school. And all the other moms are over there. Oh, honey, you won first place. Great. Oh, sweetheart, you're the smartest. Oh, and there's your kid coming out there, you know. No awards, no nothing. And she comes home, she says, I'm a failure as a mom. You need to protect her. Because that'll kill her. You brush it off. Say, oh, I don't care. The kid's going to do fine. Throw him in the water. He'll be fine. You know how my dad taught me to swim? He said, swim! Really, my dad. He got in the pool one time. He says, jump, I'll catch you. Liar! Come on, keep swimming. I'm teaching you to swim. That's how guys are. We don't protect anything. Hey, you know what? Your wife's under spiritual attack like you have no idea. You need to pray for her. You need to wash her, keep her heart clean. You need to take her in your arms and just pray with her and say, we're going to get through this. We're going to go forward by the grace of God. Amen. And the last thing, you need to sacrifice yourself like she sacrifices for you. That doesn't mean that you quit your job so she can get a full-time job. You can't take her place. I wonder if you could sacrifice some things. I wonder if you could sacrifice the extra hours at work. I wonder if you could sacrifice that second car or that second holiday you're dreaming of. I wonder if you could sacrifice all those things that really you want. She doesn't need. What she needs is somebody who'll say, sweetheart, you need a break every week. You need a date night with this hunk. You need some money all your own. I don't need to control all this thing. Sacrifice some things, gentlemen. Sacrifice yourself like she sacrifices for you. I was told of a story of a mom whose husband had left her, so she was raising two kids all by herself. She had to take a job as a janitor in the secondary school. She started her job around 3 or 4 o'clock, but they asked her to come in because there's a lot of water damage from a leak, and so she came in while her own daughters were just getting finished with school. And as her own daughters came and passed by their mom mopping up the water from a leak, those daughters with their friends passed by, they turned away and just kept walking and abandoned their mom to finish that job because it was too embarrassing for them to sit and honor their mom who was working so they could have the clothes. And the food, and everything. I think we are very unsacrificial to the people who are so sacrificial to us. Oh, by the way, if you've got your mom alive, you need to call her today. My mom's in America. It's not Mother's Day in America, so she loves it. She gets wished Happy Mother's Day twice. But folks, your mom needs you to go up to her and hug her, pick her up, throw her around. Hold on to her. And somebody said, somebody's telling me yesterday, going, my mom doesn't need to be told that I love her. Wow. Just try it and watch how it gives you more mileage than you've ever done. What moms need to do. First thing that every mom in this room needs to do is to trust God again. You probably used to trust God for the problems. Now, you're carrying the weight of the world on you and you need to get back to trusting God. trusting that God is going to make everything turn out for good. He only doeth wondrous things. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. You need to trust God again. You also, secondly, need to tenderly love again. I'm not going to ask, but I wonder if many of you know or had a mom who got hard, who got angry, who got mean. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 3. Listen to this son as he remembers his mom. He says, "For I was my father's son, and I was tender and only beloved in the sight of my mom, my mother." What do you need to do, mom? You need to check that attitude that you have about your kids, that you have towards your husband, that you have towards all the pressure that you're under, and take a good look at yourself in the mirror, ladies, and see, have you become the devil himself? How about tenderly loving again? Guys don't know how to love tender. I mean, Elvis could sing it, but he couldn't do it. Stop allowing life to make you hard and angry and mean-spirited, ladies. Third, make it a priority to train your children. Don't leave it to the Montessori. Don't leave it to the creche. Don't leave it to the school. You do it. Look at Proverbs 29. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15. Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom." You know, my kids needed me to talk to them. They needed to be corrected. And my kids would rather me slap them and get it over with than ground them for 3 weeks. Oh, I just want to ground you for life. That's not going to do any good. How about just correcting them and getting it over with? But look what he says. "But a child left to himself, never teaching them, never showing them what they're doing wrong, never helping them do right, it bringeth his mother to..." Ladies, don't leave it to everybody else to train your children. Train them. And teach your daughters most. Go to Ezekiel. I know you haven't been there in a long time. Go to the right. Find the book of Ezekiel after Proverbs. And Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. In verse 44. Ladies, have you ever heard the phrase, "like father, like son"? Okay, look at this verse. Ezekiel 16 and verse 44. "Behold, everyone that uses proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is the daughter." Ladies, realize, you are so important to your sons, you are very important to your husband, but you are so vital to your daughters. And if you're not careful, she's going to turn out just as bad as you are. Teach your daughters, honor your marriage and your husband. Be careful not to be a pawn in the hand of the devil to destroy not only your home and life, but honor what God gave you. Folks, it may be hard as hell for you to stay with that man. It may be the worst life for a few years, but let me tell you, by the grace of God, if you honor that man, if you honor that marriage commitment, if you honor that home, and you say, "God, by the grace of God, by the Word of God, by the Son of God, I'm going to hold this thing together, I'm going to get through this," it'll pay off in the next generation. We've thrown away generation after generation after generation simply because we don't honor the home ourselves. Expect to get hurt. I don't like what I've been through. It goes with the territory. My mom's been married 4 times. 4 times. She got hurt. She got hurt a lot. She tried. I sit in awe and respect of my mom. Trying to find some man who would love her unconditionally. Wouldn't walk out on her. I don't understand it. I had to forgive every one of them. Because I wanted to kill them. Amen. I seriously did. God had to deal with my heart. But you know what? You say, You mean marriage is hard? Wake up! All we need is love. You are an idiot. You're going to get hurt. Lastly, ladies, what you need to do is live your life as a gift. Do not ever allow yourself to be treated and to ever think of yourself as a slave. Respect who you are, your calling. Look at Proverbs chapter 31. You'll never live up to that chapter. You'll never live up to what this virtuous woman does. But that shows what God thinks of being a mom. And He says, you as flawed, as broken, as messed up as you are, it is a great calling. You're a gift. Respect your life. Respect who you are. Don't try to be your husband. Don't try to be somebody you're not. And what only God can do when we're through. Go back to Psalm 113, please. In the middle of your Bible, Psalm 113. What only God can do, folks, let me tell you. Psalm 113, verse 9. He can give you joy again for being a mom. Psalm 113, verse 9 says, He maketh the barren woman to have children, to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. I know plenty of women who are mothers, but they're not happy about it. But He can make you a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. God is the only person to give you joy. Many a woman says, if I only got a man, I'd be happy. Boy, was she wrong. If I only got pregnant, I'd be happy. Boy, was she wrong. If I only had another child. Come on, wake up. Only God can give you joy. Only God can. He can also help you be a mom. John chapter 15. Gospel of John chapter 15 and verse 5. Dina, could you go and tell them I'm ready for the kids to start wrapping up and to come in here with their cards with them? John chapter 15 and verse 5. John 15, 5 says, I am the vine, Jesus says. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. You accomplish much. For without me, ladies, ye can do nothing. God will help you be a mom. Listen, let me tell you what God can do. He can bring back wayward children. He can humble and break hard-hearted husbands. They used to have frying pans. Now they're so tinny they wouldn't hurt anybody. God, you say, my husband needs to be broken. God can do it. God can also reward all your labors. He can make everything you have ever endured worth it all. That's the kind of God we serve. He keeps track of what you've gone through. He knows all the burdens and all the tears. He actually, you know what the Bible says? He keeps our tears in bottles. When you get to heaven, it'll blow you away. There are going to be books up there. There are going to be Christians up there. There are going to be angels up there. And then you're going to see every one of your tears. The Lord says, I kept them. I took note of them. I knew when you hurt. And I wanted you to know that they were precious to me. I didn't just ignore them. God's going to take those things and He's going to reward you. He'll make every heartache worth it. And what only God can do is He can save your soul. You see, Mom, you probably spend all your time trying to save your family, trying to save your kids, trying to save your husband, and you can't do it. I've heard several testimonies of women who sat down with their priest who said, if anybody's going to heaven, after all the trouble in your life, certainly you are. Let me tell you, that's not true. You cannot. You, I don't care how much suffering and sacrifices you have experienced, you can never earn heaven. Jesus did that for you. And folks, especially ladies, when it's all said and done, what will happen to your soul? Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. John 3:17 says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. See, Jesus will give you what the world cannot, what your husband cannot, what your kids cannot. He'll give you eternal life. Let's all pray. We're going to be dismissed. Father, I thank you for the gift that these women are. Whether they get honored by anybody else, I know you honor them. I've tried to honor them. But Lord, thank you just that they live, even without the honor and the praise that they deserve, they live for others. They have chosen life. They have chosen and made some tough decisions in their life. Not everybody gets to be a mom. Unfortunately, not everybody wants to be a mom. But these who have the privilege of being a mom, I pray that you equip them with so much grace that whatever pain and sorrow and trials they've had to endure in the past, Lord, you will make it all worthwhile. And that you would make even the next few years the best ever in their lives. Bring wayward children home. Help save and soften hard-hearted husbands. I pray that you'd save some mom here today. God, you designed them, you blessed them, but you want to save every soul. Nobody's good enough, nobody's able enough, nobody can be enough to get into heaven. We need a Jesus. We'll leave the saving to your Son. Let somebody cry out to you this morning and say, God, you've given me so much. You gave me my family, gave me my wife, gave me my husband, gave me my children. I want Jesus now. You gave me your Son. I pray somebody would take him into their heart and follow him for the rest of their life. Would you dismiss us with your blessing? We love you and we love these women. In Jesus' name.